Welcome to another episode of the Open Metaverse Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest with us, Sebastian Bourget, the global ambassador and co-founder of Sandbox. Hello, Sebastian. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing great.
Amazing. Thank you, Luca. How was it getting here?
Well, very easy. Yeah. Convenient.
KBW, I guess?
Exactly. Nice. I keep being on this global series of events. Yeah. The second half of the year is pretty busy, usually.
I mean, this is the busiest week of the year, pretty much, right? The biggest?
Kinda, yes. But Token 2049 in Singapore, I think, is kind of like the largest event in crypto and in our industry in general. And it's going to be an exciting week with a lot of announcements for Sandbox.
Nice. Yeah, we'll get to that as well.
Yes.
I think maybe to start off, like, obviously many people know you in the space. You've been one of the biggest OGs. But maybe for the people that don't know you, can you quickly introduce yourself and also what are you doing at the Sandbox?
Right. So I'm a serial entrepreneur. I started in 2007 together with my business partner, Arturo Madrid, and chairman of Sandbox. We co-founded three companies, had two exits. We started in peer-to-peer technology back in 2007. Back then, we were using BitTorrent to enable a video on demand website and sport event to deliver high definition video at a fraction of the cost using BitTorrent. We sold that company in 2008 and founding a new business in 2009 about allowing people to upload photo, video and music in the cloud and share it with their friends, access it from any device. So cloud storage and content streaming in the early days. We had 10 of thousands of paying subscriber, $9.99 a month for unlimited storage, sold the company 2 years later. And in 2011, we actually realized one of my childhood dreams to make my own video game. We launched our first mobile game, free-to-play studio. Back then, we were doing city builder game with already some characters and IPs such as Snoopy, Garfield, Adam's Family, Goosebumps. And we launched the first version of Sandbox. So back in 2011, it was just a 2D mobile game where people, by the touch of their finger, could magically create pixelated world and share them online on a gallery for other people to see, watch, and play. So we had art, we had games, we had some music, and so on. It grew into a large success, got 40 million downloads over 8 years, 70 million player-made creation. And around 2018, we joined an Yanni Moca Brands group, became part of the family, and that was our second exit. And at that moment, we also stumbled upon blockchain technology, NFTs with CryptoKitties, and we saw the immediate potential of that technology towards applying it to user-generated content. Mm-hmm. Like our content creator, we quickly realized that social fame and recognition wasn't enough for them to actually keep creating, keep being engaged. They needed more, and that more is actually monetization, earning a bit of revenue from the contribution as their content help our company revenue as well. And the technology was not there yet. I had to go through so many hard steps actually to reach out to the creator, find by their nickname in the game, their social account on Twitter or other platform, to write them an email, to send them a contract, to make a manual payment by PayPal. Such a hassle, not scalable, could manage 100 payments a month at best this way. Until blockchain really came out as a solution, enabling ownership, decentralization, content creator could sell their creation directly on the marketplace without us as intermediary, could pay in crypto, so no fees, no payments, delays and issues like PayPal had back in the days. So really, that allows to stumble upon and launch a new version of Sandbox, this time 3D, multiplayer as well, and leveraging blockchain. And since 2017, that's been the main story of Sandbox. We've grown it into one of the largest decentralized virtual world or metaverse, open metaverse, actually, because of the nature of the technology underlying here. We onboarded over 8 million users with a wallet, many of them for the first time in Web3. We onboarded over 400 major brands and partners in culture, in entertainment, in gaming, sport, from the likes of Snoop Dogg or Gucci, Ubisoft, Warner Music, Attack on Titan, recently Cirque du Soleil, Black Mirror, Terminator, Peaky Blinders, so a lot of cool content that launch experiences, social games, social hub and games in the metaverse and onboarded their fans and community through that. And that's not over. There's even more to the story. So that's an exciting phase for Sandbox. And actually, as we are here in Singapore today, we're announcing also another major launch. Mm-hmm. So we're introducing Sunshine.
Yeah,
so
tell
our
us about
own
it, yeah.
Layer 2 blockchain that's built on Ethereum using ZK Sync. And it's here to empower even more creators because we realize that all content creators, whether they were building virtual world on Sandbox or like they're publishing content on YouTube, on Twitter, they're doing podcasts, they're always struggling with kind of the same challenges. One is like the discoverability, like building their community and growing it, building loyalty, engagement, retention, and ultimately access to monetization and financing. So it's very hard, even though technology allows us to get started very quickly into becoming a content creator and doing UGC in gaming or other social platform, it's actually still very challenging today to actually make it a sustainable business which you can live from. And the $250 billion creator economy, it's massive, and it's also very much off-chain. It's still Web2, and we realize that we could do better to keep helping the creator and provide solution. Those solutions will include like enabling them to build their own loyalty system, introducing points on chain, and building value toward like their communities of fans and followers. Working together not just on like being a Web3 Patreon where like we'll ask donations that are on chain, but creating ways that as well the communities that support their favorite creator get some value back. And it's all powered by Sand, the token that's also the main UC token of the Sandbox.
Well, there are so many things that you mentioned that are so super interesting. I want to go back to them as well. Maybe just to rewind like the story of Sandbox, because I think a lot of people were not familiar that Sandbox was a successful game in Web 2 already, in a way, the two-game version of it. Was NFTs and the metaverse the first time when you encountered these terms and these concepts, was that in 2017 when you saw blockchain? Or were you always interested in like the metaverse and that field to some extent?
I think in 2017, it was more like the virtual world, an MMORPG kind of feeling. The inspiration was mostly Minecraft or to some extent Fortnite. And it progressively moved into like the metaverse, that's because the term became very popular as well around 2021 when Facebook represented in Meta. Yeah. And somehow it was more of like a marketing gimmick on their side because of like the actual gap between the ultimate vision and the reality of the product. While in our case, it was actually very well connected. Like this notion of like a digital identity, that avatar that represents yourself that can move along seamlessly across different worlds as long as all your creation, the asset you own, the currency you own, and your reputation identity, all of that is provided by the technology, the blockchain, that makes it like really truly a metaverse.
Like, I mean, I was playing Sandbox as well back in the early days in 2021, 2020. How, like, all of the different brands that you onboarded, all the amazing IPs that you worked with, you said 400 IPs over the years. Was there any, maybe let me rephrase the question, what was the most difficult thing in the beginning? Because I think in the beginning, to get these brands to come to the metaverse to test out this idea, these are big IPs, right? So it's very difficult for them to make that decision. I guess the further you went along and the more IPs you had, the easier it got. But was it difficult in the beginning to get these people to
join the metaverse? It's always difficult, right? Like even if the brands have like a curiosity of what they can do in this new technology space and how they can explore it and it can benefit them in some way, there's very few first mover who are ready to risk getting into like, let's experiment, let's launch something, let's put my name on top of it and so on. So what helped as well is like we had that reputation already as entrepreneur and a mobile game where like, I didn't mention it, but back in the mobile days of the 2D pixelated art game, we already had collaboration with Skybound and Invincible or Shrek or Pac-Man. So we could show like, look, like not only we have experience working with brands, we understand like stories, characters are important. We know all the approval process when we submit content and working with their team as well to create some compelling product that fans will enjoy because it's really respectful of the universe. We put the team of like level designer, artist, narrative designer to make sure like what we'll introduce in Sandbox is not just hype and announcement, but as always like creative content that add value as well to the brand. And knowing that we have that experience indeed helped a lot to convince the first partners back in the day, Atari, The Walking Dead, Snoop Dogg, Care Bears from Top of Mind. We knew IP licensing and we knew making games with those IPs, right? Still long process, roughly 12 months to convince the first partners. Not because there was also no conviction, but because by then, understanding what is digital asset, what is NFT, and putting it into a contract was a bit difficult. There was no legal framework around like how to treat digital assets, really. Like it became a new category within like all the licensing rights of IP. So they had to check, hey, is it in line with physical collectible? Is it like games? Is it in between? So how do you structure that and make sure that also like, because it's a commercial relationship and those brands are big companies, like in every jurisdiction, it's actually legal to launch, you know, this kind of content, which we cleared through, obviously. And then afterwards, like you said, it's like the snowball effect. Once a brand sees what has been done with another brand, they understand like the quality and effort we put. And it was not just, let's put a brand, let's launch a token with it, and like let's see. But there was really an actual utility for all the avatars collection we launched. We had the neighborhood on the map, which really created and was very easy to understand for them because they understood real estate before. And the games with the characters and the stories from the brands, then it was much easier to convince a lot of partners afterwards.
Especially when... I remember that moment quite vividly when Facebook was changing the name, obviously, as a marketing play as well. But that obviously had huge impact for Sandbox as well, just from a recognition standpoint, I guess.
How, the whole industry benefited from it, I believe. Yeah. Even now you hear like Roblox or Fortnite call themselves metaverse too. I think the term is definitely entered in people's minds.
How did, like, but I'm just curious, and I think that's also super interesting for a lot of the listeners, is there... Was there a very strong influx at that day or like those weeks when Facebook changed the names? Did you suddenly have hundreds of brands knocking on your door saying, Sebastian, we want to be in the Sandbox as well?
So if I remember correctly, it was around the end of 2021, October 2021. And at the same time, in November 2021, we announced our Series B, raising $91 million from SoftBank and a few large investors. And that was also a strong moment. So I don't think it was one single thing. It was like a good, the coincidence of many things. I couldn't attribute the reason of success for one. Is it like the market of NFTs, profile picture that was quite hot at the moment? Was it indeed Meta, Facebook rebranding Meta? Was it our Series B round? Is it pure luck? Is it good execution? I think it's a combination of all of that. Being having the right product, right offering at the right time made us really like jump and grow a lot by that time.
100%. Let's talk a bit more about maybe some of your favorite activations. Like I remember super vividly the fashion show in Sandbox where me and a lot of friends were walking around, like just exploring all these brands like Gucci and all these other brands in the Sandbox. It was so cool. And a lot of people back then obviously were trading like real estate, digital real estate, and people, like, I think that was the entry point for a lot of people. Like back then, that was Sandbox was the entry point for so many people entering the space. So I think, there's a huge cultural value as well in the space when it comes to the Sandbox. Is there any special or specific activation with any big IP that was, in a way, your favorite one that you thought this is the most innovative one? Was it the Snoop Dogg one or maybe some other one? Is there specific moments or specific IPs that you could pick out?
Well, there's been so many, you know, it's hard to pin at one in particular. One of the strengths of Sandbox is indeed like bringing brands together, launching the experience that appeal to fans, but also mashing up brands in seasons. So I'm sure you're familiar with the concept of the alpha season, usually we launch one or two a year. We package somewhere from like 30 experiences to 100 experiences that we release along a few weeks, 6, 8, 9 weeks, for players to come, to complete quests and progress as they play, and to earn different rewards based on the battle pass and the different NFTs that they collected and the quest points they earned. And I think like nobody has done that at a level where like you had all those different brands that shows that come from different angles, from entertainment with DJs and music artists in our virtual club, Club XYZ, where we featured Steve Aoki or Blondish or others. Experiences, for example, where Jurassic World, you could like enter like a dinosaur park, raise your eggs, and explore different stories. Enter Snoop Dogg house indeed and play with him across different experiences, or relive the attack of the wall in Attack on Titan, for example, a very famous Japanese comic book and anime now. And you could explore really unique experiences, like a brand like Lacoste or Charles & Keith or Gucci. They gave life to worlds that normally only exist maybe in like flagship stores in like the bigger cities. But they went way beyond. And I think it was also cool how brands started to understand with Sandbox that gaming and gamification was a great medium to capture people's attention, to tell stories in a different ways that traditional social media is doing, where you just see a video or a photo, you watch it for 1 second to 10 seconds, you like it, and that's it. So very low level of engagement. Otherwise, here in gaming, the different spaces that can go beyond the laws of physics, people really took the time to appreciate, learn the story and the value of the brand, interact with their favorite characters, play as their favorite characters using the avatars. I recently have been very impressed by how we turn Casio G-Shock watches into like amazing droid characters and play with them. I also discovered I treat Sandbox, like you said, with the concept of land and neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It's almost universal. Like everybody understands the value of real estate and virtual real estate in the virtual world where you're playing and engaging. And we were able to create those neighborhood of cultures with cavers and Turkishvers and Singaporevers. And for me, also like learning and discovering about like local popular entertainment brand or music artist or TV shows and so on, and seeing like how in their very unique ways they use the technology, the no-code game maker that we gave to bring to life like unique experiences, was and still is today amazing. Like we have the Alpha Season 6, which is still live and playable.
Which brands or which IPs are participating there?
A lot, exciting. Yeah. So Cirque du Soleil, bringing to life like the world of performance show circus, Peaky Blinder, Black Mirror, Terminator, Casio G-Shock, Jurassic World is coming back, Steve Aoki, Club XYZ, lots of diverse experience. And you were saying you started playing in 2021. Mm-hmm. The technology, the experience has improved so much. Today, like the loading time are almost instant, the graphics are amazing, there's multiplayer gameplay, a lot of abilities for avatars who can fly around and so on. So we really worked hard to offer a much more fun and social experience for people who enter the metaverse in 2025. Because I believe like you need to understand as well, like metaverse is not just a copy of like what you could play on your phone, etc. It's a different kind of experience.
100%. I mean, maybe looking ahead then with Sandchain specifically, let's go a bit deeper there. So in a nutshell, tell us again what Sandchain is and why it's so important for creators.
So with Sandchain, we're essentially powering like the creator nation. Like we want to be the financial backbone of culture, a cultural economy where like content creators and their community can grow together, can engage together, and like to earn value from their participation, from engagement. We want content creation to be accessible, fun, and rewarding. That's been essentially the mission of Sandbox, empowering anyone to become a creator. And we want to help solve those problems that we've seen with content creator firsthand on Sandbox, but beyond. On Sandbox, you could launch an experience, publish it on your land, you could sell NFTs for monetization, but somehow we were limited in like how you could build engagement, retention with your community, how you could reward your users if they come every day to play experience or watch your video, in case you're like a social media content creators. You're limited in like how you can monetize, because NFTs have this scarcity built in, so you cannot keep selling them over and over. Royalties is a thing of the past, so models have evolved. So enabling content creator to be able to launch their own token with product like Launchpad that will be deployed on the chain in the future. Having this dual point system with both Sandpoint that works across the network and creator points that creators can distribute to their fan and their audience to measure as they complete various action, quest, buy their product, attend their event, and so on. Enable to drive loyalty, to show that loyalty has value, that every action will be on chain, will contribute to build your reputation, the proof of engagement, proof of participation, and soon will also contribute to our, like, your digital identity. Mm-hmm. And we can develop new models where as well those content creators do not need to wait 30 days to 60 days to receive a payment from, you know, the platform they publish on, for example. But we use crypto and blockchain to advance those payments. We'll use staking and DeFi mechanism for the fans to support their creator in funding, whereas it's no longer just donation-based, but they can earn as well as their content creator is growing in reputation thanks to their financial support. A lot of things that are really built for the creators. And we're not going to build it alone. It's a chain, so it's going to be permissionless. On October 1st is the announcement. Then it will be a testnet. Q1 next year, we're aiming to be on the mainnet. People will be able to build solutions for the creators as well, that to keep supporting the creator nation behind.
So there's so many interesting things that you touched on. Like if I'm a creator, like maybe first of all, what type of creators are you're looking to bring to Sandchain?
So in essence, like anyone that turns like creativity into value. So not just like people building games, but people like create post influencers, people posting on social media like Twitter, Discord, Twitch, YouTube, people who are building games, but also on the App Store, Google Play Store, Roblox, Fortnite, Sandbox, obviously as well. Streamers, podcasters. What's really interesting, like how we position Sandchain, is like we want to help content creator, and we're not asking content creator like to move to a new channel or a new platform. Like they shouldn't leave the platform where their audience is currently built and where like they have their fans and they're currently posting. We should be a solution that works on top of those existing platforms, providing them simple tools. Example, a link, a QR code, so their community can engage after they watch the video or after like they bought something on their merchandise website. They can detect an API or webhook that they made a purchase to actually give them points. And what's special is those points are actually on chain as well. So like they can be swapped for other creator points, for Sand Point as well. Sand Point will be swapped for Sand, and Sand is a UTT token that power gas transaction, that ensures liquidity on the chain, as well as basically is listed globally. So it's a universal payment token available as well already in more than 80 exchanges around the world, including in US, in Korea, in Japan.
So maybe to go a bit more in depth on that, to explain it to the audience a bit better. Let's say I'm a content creator on X, and I post a lot of educational content around maybe still NFTs to this day, because I'm super interested in NFTs. I have quite a large community. So I want to do stuff on Sandchain. How exactly does that work now for me as a content creator?
It's a great question. Like how to get started. I think what we'd like if you're not yet into Web3, you're not too familiar, probably your audience isn't either. And that should stay that way. So you will keep publishing on Twitter regularly. You could create simple quests and decide like how many points to assign to those quests. Points will be on chain, but you don't need to mention it. Your fans will be able, through a link or through a tracker or QR code, that we can detect certain actions that are completed, like After watching the video, they can click on the link. If they reply on comment, you can send them the link. And through that, they're able to earn those points. And through that, you're able to measure the different level of engagement in your community. Who's been watching and replying every single one of your posts? Who, for example, not only watched the post, but clicked through the link and like, completed other action afterwards? And all of that is, of course, automated by APIs and so on. So like you will no longer need to actually do a lot of manual work. We want it to be accessible to both Web2, Web3, IRL, and digital action that can become trackable and measurable. And as a content creator, now you don't just know like, oh, I have 100 likes and 10 reply, but you can see better a level of like CRM mm-hmm. around your community, like understanding who they are, who is this week your top followers, how many points did they earn, and through that decide what kind of rewards, perks, or benefit you can give them. Could be very general access to specific content, or more tailored to like what you know your community really wants from you, whether meet in person, get some discount, get free swag, get airdrop of token if that's the case, receive an exclusive access or an invitation to some content, service, or places.
So basically the level of engagement is something that you can foster with that and get a better sense of your community and your audience.
Exactly. Right? Like, it's giving you the tool to grow community economies, like with Quest and Point, with the possibility to launch your own token as well, with the fact that it brings as well and boost your discoverability on the platform. And essentially, we are introducing like loyalty system, but at the scale of individual content creators. Mm. It shouldn't be just limited to like the big airline miles or shopping malls and big Fortune 500 companies to have their loyalty program. Any single individual content creator, whether they have 100 fans, 100 million fans, I think should have a way to know better who in their audience is more engaged toward their content. And I think that the platform don't provide. They provide you analytics, they provide you a measure of like how many views, what's the reach, how long, if you have a video, how much of that video content has been watched. But they don't give you really the tool to increase how much has been watched unless you spend. But it doesn't need to be advertising only. Like, believe like loyalty system are a much better driver to boost your engagement with the community, to understand who in your audience is actually, I wouldn't say a better fan, but still it's a way for you to decide between two people who have this conversation. Hey, I'm a big fan of Snoop Dogg, but so do I. I'm more a fan than you because I went to two of his concerts. Yes, but I bought all his albums since I was a child. Yeah. No, but I have a signed poster for him. Imagine one day all of that become more quantifiable and you could decide like what to reward to who in that case.
I guess it's especially empowering for smaller creators as well, right?
Yes.
Because now they have some tools that can really attract loyalty, because traditionally crypto Web3 specifically when it comes to content creators has been very winner takes all, right? You have the biggest influencers who get all the deals, who get all the great advertisement, but a lot of the smaller guys.
The smaller, they're struggling. On the $250 billion creator economy, actually you take more than 60% of the content creators, they're earning less than $1,000 a month. And they are like single individual content creators. They have maybe 1,000 to 10,000 followers, fans. What can you do to help them? Yeah, like if the mission is to empower anyone to become a creator, like I want them not just to become, I want them to like thrive as a creator, or at least to be able to make a living and continue being a creator over time. And I don't think most of the platform do a job good enough to maintain, to allow and maintain them to remain content creator, not as a hobby, but turning it into like, if that's their passion, it should be able to turn into their job and equip them with better tools for that.
Let's say specifically, obviously, everything around Kaito and all of the content creation that we've seen coming out from Kaito specifically. You feel like it has a positive impact for the space after some time now, where a lot of the content creators are creating content, but then you have a lot of the criticism that a lot of the content now is all just sponsored. It's all just ads at the end of the day in a way. So how do you feel about that when it comes to that overarching topic of empowering content creators through Sandchain?
So, you know, there's a different stigma in the industry. And of course, I think there's a lot of people and the majority of people who are like well-intentioned and want to do good, but some as well have been leveraging their the reach and the audience they have to push and sell product that sometimes they were not necessarily fully informed themselves about, like the potential risk associated with it. And at some point when content creators, KOLs, influencers have gained so much influence power around like decision-making for their audience, it is a responsibility. With great powers comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. So it's important to make sure like you educate people about like what basically in general, like what blockchain is, what is like financial education, understanding a lot of key concepts behind. I think those content creators can be definitely a vector. Points is a very simple way to introduce without major risk, financial risk attached to it. They are not becoming so-called expert in areas which like normally requires license and certification to be able to sell some kind of financial product to an audience. And I think like we need always transparency and trust. And the fact that sometimes product placement are disguised as like just physical product test and so on, right? But if it's an advertisement, if it's like actually sponsored and paid, it should be disclosed. Like you should, and I think it's a good practice to set in the industry. So I know as well that certain countries have turned into a law. France, for example, has a bill where like you must disclose if the content. I think the US as well has been really pushed for that, which is great. And it shows as well like the platform are maturing in a way. So there is innovation. There is then a lot of potential enabled by the technology and like understanding that this is a new medium and way of reaching users and ultimately getting their attention about the product. Gaming as well. So maybe one day advertisement in gaming that's not disclosed as like, because it's getting smarter as well. It's no longer just like the 2D banners or video that come as an interstitial and interrupt your game. They are placed in game in 3Ds, are part of the environment. In the future, you might not know that an avatar you talk to is actually a, like an undisclosed product advertisement product that gives you some quests. Instead, yeah. I think brands are exploring that when you see some of them have been launched, what they launched in Sandbox or some of the Fortnite Island or Roblox experiences with brands. And because they reach younger audience that are not necessarily well educated about the risk and in general, like marketing and commercial, they might be overconfident and over trusting those platforms or those content creators. And just like parents have a responsibility around education of their children to let them know about the risk and danger in the society, I think like influencers also have a responsibility, but they need to be as well educating themselves. Yeah. So we need as a platform to provide them that guidance.
I mean, about this topic specifically, we could probably talk for an hour, but I want to quickly touch as well on, like, let's say, because as we're already getting to what's the end of the interview, let's say we sit down in 3 years from now. Like, what would success look like for you for Sandchain? Where do you want this to be?
So definitely being on mainnet, having a great number of wallets, users, transaction, creator points, and creators token launched. A lot of success case that Sandchain, in the same way that Sandbox changed many people's life to discover their inner creativity and like able to make a video game where they never thought they could even one day, opening new field of opportunities. We want to have those success stories with creators showing that Sandchain and a different product built by us or by the community has helped them to make a living from their passion, to reach out and grow their community, to drive an impact that can be in the form of like financial success, which is still a way that we measure success nowadays. And make it sure that it's not just a few hundred, but more in a scale of the 10 of thousands, if not 100 of million of users and content creators that seen a real benefit of the technology for them.
We have some rapid round questions. So basically, asking you a quick question, you give us a quick answer from the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Let's try. I'm very bad at that.
No worries, no worries.
Stressful.
It's just a fun little experience. The last cryptocurrency that you bought?
A bit of BNB.
Interesting. All right. Coffee or tea?
Both.
All right. Paris or New York?
Paris.
Of course. And now we're getting a bit more into the metaverse specific questions. The first land that you bought in the sandbox?
Oh, it was the very first land sale that we did right at the center. I have like more than 70-80 lands plus a few estate on sandbox, yes.
Are you renting them out for someone?
Not yet. Nice. I wish that they will, maybe only with Sunshine develop in that direction.
What's a favorite avatar you've ever seen someone create in the sandbox?
So I had this funny experiment where I open sourced my avatar model. Mm-hmm. So I say, okay, do whatever with it. Put me in game, put me in sandbox, outside of sandbox. And the community has been fantastic. And when I travel the world and I meet in different countries with our communities, I see that they put myself, these guys are in like in the Vietnamese outfit, in a Thai outfit, and other Turkish outfit and so on. So I just love that somehow I kind of become a video game character by myself with the creativity of the
global
community.
Ambassador. Yeah, there
yes,
you have it.
Exactly.
Nice. Okay, this is an interesting one. If you could invite any historical figure into the metaverse, into the sandbox, who would it be?
So first, if I can meet anyone who's still living today and would be an inspiration for me, probably Bill Gates. I think he really inspired the entrepreneur vision, making a startup from your garage and growing big and making impact and after going to philanthropy and really changing the world for the better. And then a figure... No specific name that come to mind, like more on the human history scale.
Is there any dream IP that you're hoping to get to the sandbox?
Oh yeah, that's one that we tried for many years. Is Lego. Like Lego would be such a perfect fit, right?
That's amazing. Very looking forward to that then. See you again in a few years for sure, Sebastian.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.